Welcome back to another episode of the Solvable Mysteries podcast. My name is Juras. This is episode number 147. I'm very glad to be back once again recording on a very nice Saturday morning here in Lithuania. We have a interesting case to discuss this week. It's I'm pretty sure some of you guys will already be familiar somewhat with this case. So this week, when I was picking out cases to research, I kind of decided to go with the Tamla Horsford case because I just read the context, or how should I put it, like the general information on the case, like, you know, pretty much what happened. I read the Wikipedia, but I didn't know about the pretty dark undertones that are involved in this case, and just the whole, I guess, research process was, how should I put it, like, dark, and I think there's a lot of different opinions about this case. Literally what I just wanted to do this week was to just investigate, like, the actual details and maybe put something together here, like some details, so that we could actually evaluate what we think happened in this case. For the people that know about this case, you probably already know what I mean by those dark undertones in this case, right? And I guess it will make a lot more sense once I read the introduction of, the death of Tamla Horsford. Tamla Horsford is an American woman who has been discovered dead in the backyard of the Cumming, Georgia home where she had been attending a slumber party with other football moms the night before. At the time of her death, Tamla was 40 years of age. She was married to her husband, Leander Horsford, with whom she had 5 sons. Tamla was originally from St. Vincent and the Grenadines. She was born in 1978, but had moved with her family to the United States in 1989. She met her husband Leander Horsford in Florida. Leander also has a daughter from a previous relationship, however Tamla raised her as her own. Leander's daughter was having a baby at the time of Tamla's death, and Tamla and her husband Leander were excited to become grandparents. At the time of her death, Tamla and her family were living in Cumming, Georgia, where Leander was working while Tamla stayed home and took care of her children. In November of 2018, Tamla was invited to a birthday party held at her friend's Jean Meyer's house. Tamla knew Jean because both of their children played sports at the same school. A woman named Stacy Smith was the main organizer of this party for her friend Jean Meyers. She had sent party invitations through Facebook. The party was taking place on Saturday, November 3rd, 2018. Everyone invited to the party were notified to arrive at around 7 p.m. in the evening. Tamla was late to the party, as she arrived at around 8:30 p.m. She also brought a bottle of tequila, which was intended to be a birthday gift for John. Once at the party, Tamla changed into her pajamas. It's worth mentioning that Tamla was the only black person in attendance. This party was supposed to be a, quote, bring your own booze, end quote, type of a party, and was originally intended to be a females-only party. However, Jean Meyer's boyfriend, 27-year-old Jose Barrera, as well as Stacy Smith's husband, Tom Smith, decided to stay at the party as well. The two men were staying at this party because Stacy Smith's sister, Jamie, was having a gender reveal party at Stacy's home. This meant that Tom Smith would have to return to the house filled with Jamie's college friends, which he didn't want to do. Jose Barrera and Tom decided to just relax and watch a college football game in the basement while the women had their party upstairs in the house. In total, there were 12 people besides Tamala who had entered the house at one point or another during the party. The group of people included 9 women and 3 men, including a husband of one of the women who had dropped off and picked up his wife. These people were John Mars, Madeline Lombardi, Stacy Smith, Nicole Lawson, Marcy Hardin, Paula Seals, Bridget Fuller, Sarah Cockerham, Jennifer Morell, Jennifer's husband who dropped off and picked her up, Jose Barrera, and Tom Smith. According to the people at this party, Tamla was smoking on a regular basis. She would periodically step out on the balcony to smoke cigarettes. She had also smoked marijuana once, but Jean Mars asked her to stop because her boyfriend, Jose Barrera, was a pretrial officer and did not approve of this. Jose and Tom had joined the women during the halftime to eat some food, and the group played cards against humanity. During the game, Tamla had FaceTimed her children. As the party progressed, people in attendance took pictures and videos. Tamla did not appear in distress, and she seemed to be having a good time. Even though no one in attendance was supposed to leave the party, some of the guests did not stay overnight. These were Sarah Cockerham, Bridget Fuller, Marcy Hardin, and Nicole Lawson. Everyone started going to bed around 1:30 a.m. in the evening. According to the timeline, Tamla wanted to drive back home. However, the guests at the party convinced her to spend the night at John Mars' home, as they believed it was not a good idea to let her go since she has been drinking during the night. Tamla stayed awake the longest. In fact, Bridget Fuller, one of the women who left the party to go back home, was the last known person to see Tamla alive. Bridget Fuller told investigators that she had briefly chatted with Tamla in the kitchen while Tamla was eating a bowl of gumbo at around 1:45 a.m. in the night. She also said that Tamla planned to smoke a cigarette and then head to bed. Bridget Fuller's husband, Gary Fuller, picked her up and she walked out the door at 1:47 a.m. From 1:47 a.m. to 1:57 a.m., the home security system had registered the back door opening, closing, and then opening again for the last time at 1:57 a.m. The security system had also recorded the garage door opening, closing, and opening again at 1:30 a.m. and 1:40 a.m. Apparently, there was never any explanation given for this. For this, I mean the garage door opening, closing, and then opening again. At around 8:30 a.m. the next morning, Jean Mars' aunt, Madeline Lombardi, woke up and went to make some coffee downstairs in the basement where she was apparently living. As she was walking, she saw Tamla lying face down in her pajamas outside in the backyard. Madeline Lombardi then got on her knees and said a prayer. Afterwards, she went to wake up Jean Mars and her boyfriend, Jose Barrera. As Madeline approached the door, she heard running water, so she went back downstairs and waited several minutes before knocking on the door again. When Jean answered the door, Madeline told her that she needed Jose Barrera to go outside because there was something wrong with her, quote, friend from the islands, end quote. Jean Mars called 911 just before 9 a.m. and she and Jose both spoke with the dispatcher during the 911 call.
Forsyth County 911.
Hi, yes, I need an ambulance and a police to my home.
What's the address?
4450 Woodlake Court.
4450 Woods Lake?
Yes.
Okay, what's going on?
We had people over last night when we were drinking. Most of us went to bed. One of them stayed on the balcony. She was drinking, and we just went outside, and she's laying face down in the backyard. It looks like, I'm guessing, maybe she fell off the balcony, but she's stiff.
Okay, is she breathing?
I don't know if she's face down.
Hey, this is Jose Barrera.
Hey, have y'all checked to see if she's breathing?
She's not moving one bit. She's not breathing.
Okay.
I just tried to assess her, Tesla. She's completely face down in the yard. She is stiff.
Coming police officers arrived at the scene within 15 minutes after receiving the 911 call. Paramedics also showed up. According to some sources, responding officer Corey Moore sent them away. Some suspicions have been casted online because of the fact that Jose Barrera did not attempt to perform CPR on Tamla, even though he was a trained professional. Tamla Horsford was pronounced dead at the scene 2 hours later. Okay, so now I'm on my shared screen, I guess, and really quickly, a few things I want to mention before we jump into this week's case is that I'm still trying to find the best format or the best way to record this podcast, and even this week I actually made some pretty cool changes in the technical setup. So I don't know, the video quality itself could be a little bit choppy or laggy, but you know, I'm hoping that I'll get some good feedback on this if there's any changes that should be addressed. And also, just in general, last week's episode, you know, episode number 146, I didn't really enjoy making it because I felt like I had to do the most perfect structure and I had to basically make sure every little tidbit is researched, and just because of my work schedule, I was not able to do that. And in general, the recording process was quite stressful. So starting this week, I'm going to try to have more fun with the podcast, and maybe the podcast itself will come off a little bit more relaxed. And because essentially what I'm trying to do here is just to find the perfect balance where people could actually expect to, you know, go to this podcast and just relax, or I don't know, maybe you're working or driving and you like to put this podcast on to pass the time. That would be amazing if I could provide this service to you. Also, I would like to mention that I didn't really like my voice last week. Last week, I was recording way later into the Saturday, and I believe I've spent like a good 5 hours of researching just before I started the recording. So I was actually exhausted by the time the whole show started going. I really like recording when it's still, you know, it's the Saturday morning and my voice is still nice and fresh. And, you know, I can really, I guess, have fun with it as well, because that was, you know, the intention with this podcast is to have fun. But now, jumping back to the story, to, you know, the murder, or what am I saying, to the death of Tamla Horsford, once again, you know what I mean? I guess just the general, let's say, the sources that I've looked into kind of already are now putting words into my mouth, and we don't really have that much to look at on the map, so we only have the town of Cumming, which is a small town somewhere in Georgia, a little bit north from Atlanta. It has a very dark past. There are stories about racism, and people that are investigating this case of Tamla Horsford, they are connecting that past to potentially what is happening. Because for people that don't know, I mean, this case has a racism angle. We don't have a lot of points, I guess, in the map because, you know, everything happened in this one house in John Myers' home. we don't have a street view picture, or like, you know, we can't really look at the house from a street view angle because I guess the Google Street View car didn't enter the cul-de-sac. It stopped right, you know, right at the very entrance to this cul-de-sac. But we do have some other, I guess, details and visual assets. So let's jump right into those and, you know, let's just have a conversation. Let's see if we can, you know, put two and two together and find out what actually is happening in this case. So this picture right here that I'm showing on the YouTube channel for everyone, this is the picture that is probably the one that you will run into if you would look up Tamla Horsford's you know, death online. And it's basically the attendees of this party that was happening on November 3rd, 2018. And, you know, from the very left, starting at the very left of this picture, we just basically, for everyone who's listening to this, we're just looking at a picture of multiple women on this big couch, just relaxing. And everyone is kind of in their pajamas. And this is that sleepover party mentioned in the introduction. So starting at the very left, we have Nicole Lawson. Next to her, there is Jeanne Myers. I believe this woman was, you know, the main reason for this party. I mean, it's her home. And I think she was turning 41. So her friend Stacy Smith right here, she was the one who actually organized this whole event. And she sent invitations to everyone through Facebook to attend this party. We have Tamla Horsford right here in the middle. We have Sarah Cockerham. We have Marcy Harden, Jennifer Morell, and we have Bridget Fuller right here in the corner. She's kind of, she kind of looked like she saw a ghost or something like that in the corner right there. We also have people that have been to the party but are not shown in this exact image. That would be Paula Seals. Apparently this woman arrived the latest to the party, according to some sources that I've read. I think she arrived to the party at around like 10 p.m. ish. We have Jose Barrera and Tom Smith, the two men in this party. I believe at the time of this picture being taken, they were in the basement. They were watching the college football game. You know, at some point during the night, they did venture out from the basement to the, I guess, you know, ground levels to eat during halftime with the women. I think at some point, the two men, Jose Barrera and Tom Smith, also went out to a store, or like a quick, like a quickie mart type of a store, to grab some ice for the women. And then we have Madeline Lombardi. I believe she was the one who took this picture, and she was the aunt of Jeanne Myers. And Madeline Lombardi is definitely an interesting character in this case because she is essentially like the wacky woman who saw Tamla Horsford the following morning lying face down in the backyard. And the first thing she does, apparently, kneels and does a prayer, then walks up to Jeanne Myers' room. She knocks, she wants to knock on the door, but I think she hears that water is running. So I believe maybe in there, you know, Jeanne Myers' room had like a, you know, a bathroom inside of the room, that type of a deal, right? So she like, okay, I'm just gonna go downstairs and I'm gonna wait for a little bit. And then she walks back to the room where Jeanne Myers was staying with, you know, her boyfriend Jose Barrera, and then knocks on the door, and then you know, Jeanne Myers opens the door. So just in general, like, what's with the delay of like addressing the fact that Tamla Horsford is out there in the backyard, like not moving, and you already did a prayer? So maybe a good thing is to call the cops in this situation. But once again, I can also imagine how the I can also picture how everything went down, and maybe she was kind of already in the mood, like she was already sensing that, yo, Tamlay's probably dead by that point, and she was like, oh my god, this is crazy. So I guess I could understand it, but let's move on to some other things that I have found in this case. This is another picture that I found. It's all blurred, so I guess we can't really make out who's in this picture. And I don't think this picture kind of provides us with any information. I do see some drinks. I would assume these are alcoholic beverages. I also want to play a few videos from the party. Apparently, a lot of people were taking videos. This is potato cam quality, though. I was not able to find the good quality images, videos, I'm sorry, because I'm definitely certain this is not the original quality, but I guess we could just listen in. I believe this is the time when they played Cards Against Humanity. At some point during the night, the group of women played Cards Against Humanity. I'm not really certain who's filming this, though. It would be interesting to find out. Is this Tamla? Is this Tamla? Because I think there's an outline of like maybe darker skin, but I could be completely mistaken here. Because I know that Tamla, at least according to the timeline, did FaceTime her children during the Cards Against Humanity game. I'm not quite sure if this is her actually, but I guess let's just finish the video though. Oopsie. Let's play.
Live studio audience.
My soul, that was me.
You guys are all fucked up.
I love that you picked that for me.
And the you know me so well.
I love you.
I mean, it's definitely dark when you think about that, you know, just hours from this video being taken, Tamla is gonna be dead. And obviously, for everyone who already know more about this case, the speculation is that was this an accident or was this a murder? And I guess just looking at this video right here, I have a question for everyone. Does this seem like a atmosphere where people are actually trying to potentially kill Tamla? So I just want to run over here and actually tell my side of the, I guess, line of thinking. I personally don't see, or I didn't find any evidence, and this might be controversial, but I didn't find any evidence that maybe Tamla was lured inside of John Meyer's home, where they kind of all schemed on killing her. Because all of these footages are being taken, videos are being taken, and I think a lot of people were taking videos. So I think maybe if this was something else than an accident, maybe it was some sort of a escalation in the evening or some sort of a accidental cover-up. For instance, maybe if Tamla didn't actually fall to her death on her own accord, maybe someone accidentally pushed her. Or maybe there's a line of thinking that, you know, there was an escalation, someone had a fight. But just in general, what do you guys think? Do you think that this kind of a vibe right here that we are seeing, does this look like a some sort of a ploy against Tamla in the first place? I feel like if there is foul play involved, I think the foul play was not pre-planned, not premeditated. At least, you know, that's how I see it. This is another footage, so we can look at it.
Wait, ready, go.
Let me know.
Yeah,
okay.
She gonna read it?
She's supposed to be reading it.
All right, read a black card, girl.
Johnny, read it.
Because that is sleeping over one of...
Okay.
she doesn't look like she's expressing a lot of emotions. I'm not sure who this is. I feel like this is the same woman who looks like she has seen a ghost in the original footage. Maybe that's just her personality type, but yeah, she does look peculiar, let's say. This is just a 3-second clip. Oh, but yeah, now we can see that this is definitely Tamla, because I believe this is... Okay, I hope I didn't mess it up here. Just technical things, guys. This is definitely Tamla right here, because this is the same PJs, pajamas, that Tamla was wearing. So I guess this tells us that Tamla was not the only person using videos and FaceTiming. So everyone was kind of filming. So that's one of the reasons why I think that maybe if this was foul play, that it was... The evening didn't start as a foul play. I mean, these are just some football moms, you know what I mean, having some sort of a sleepover party. Would they really ploy to lure them in because the town has a dark past? I don't want to downplay anything, but I'm just thinking logically. And guys, if I don't make any sense, please let me know in the comment section. You are always very welcomed to do that. This is another clip I found. It's also short. It's only 5 seconds. Damn, it seems like there's a lot of people. It's kind of crazy to see, like, these are adults, you know what I mean? And they're acting like kids. Once again, doesn't look at all like a... situation where someone pre-planned the murder, but people are acting weird and childish, so maybe there was a lot of drinking involved, and maybe that could add to the potential escalation of a some sort of a fight that leads to Tamla's murder. Let's move on. You know, I plan to go over the 911 call right now, but I know that I already played the 911 call during the introduction phase, so maybe let's not stop here for too long. But I guess we could go over it one more time, but obviously not the entirety of the 911, just like certain portions. So let's just play it right now.
Forsyth County 911.
Hi, yes, I need an ambulance and a police to my home.
What's the address?
4450 Woodlake Court.
4450 Woodlake?
Woodlet,
okay. All right, 4450 Woodlet Court. What is your name?
My name is John Myers, J-E-A-N-N-E.
Okay, and your phone number is 609.
Okay, so just a quick background. This is already when... What was her name? Melanie Lombardi, that aunt of Jean Mayers, had informed her. Jean Mayers had found, I assume, the, you know, dead body of Tamla Horsford. But to some, and this is the speculation online, that this audio clip that we're listening to is not how a friend should react when they find a... their friend dead. So let's listen in, and I'll give you my take very soon. Let's listen in until Jose Barrera takes over. Oh, this is where nothing's happening?
Yes. Okay, what's going on?
We had people over last night. We were drinking. Most of us went to bed. One of them stayed on the balcony. She was drinking. And we just went outside, and she's laying face down in the backyard. It looks like, I'm guessing, maybe she fell off the balcony, but she's stiff.
Okay, is she breathing?
I mean, guys, call me crazy, but I think this is a natural reaction. Okay, so for instance, if an acquaintance of mine is dead in the backyard, lying face down, and I'm calling someone, I'm literally gonna have the same exact tone. I'm not going to be like, yo, going crazy out there. If like someone very significant in my life dies, yeah, I'm going to be like in more distress, probably going to be in denial or something like that. But if just an acquaintance that I know kind of from around the neighborhood is lying face down dead in my backyard, then I'm going to have the same exact tone. I'm not going to be stressing. I'm going to be like, yo, it is what it is. And you know what I mean? What now?
I don't know if she's face down.
Okay. How old is she?
At 41. Here, hold on.
Hey, this is Jose Barrera.
Hey, have y'all checked to see if she's breathing?
She's not moving one bit.
Yeah, this is Jose Barrera, and there is speculation that kind of throws shade to this guy because he knew CPR because he was trained in CPR, and he did not perform CPR on Tamla. So I think that's, once again, I kind of feel like that's, if you're not really that good at CPR, would you really jump into doing CPR in the first place? I feel like just seeing a dead body might leave you in shock, maybe not the hysterical shock that you would be like, you know what I mean, going like JonBenet's mother on that 911 call, but maybe just enough so that you would be like, yo, I don't want to touch the dead body. Which, yeah, I wouldn't prefer, even if I was trained in CPR and I see someone dead or like in an unclear position potentially indicating that they're dead, I couldn't do it, like, you know, because I couldn't deal with dead people, I guess, you know.
She's not breathing. I just tried to assess her, Tesla. She's completely face down in the yard. She is stiff.
Okay. Do you know if she, do you see any blood or anything where she...
Okay, there are some annoying things right here.
You know, like my girlfriend said, people were over last night. her birthday party. We're not the woman that we believe to be deceased, but it's my girlfriend's birthday party. Instead of having everybody go out, she had everyone stay in. And she was the last one I saw before everybody. I mean, everybody was typically put off to bed. She was the last one in the kitchen. She was just, I think, either waiting around for a ride or waiting until the morning.
Okay. How far is the, where she would have fell from? How far is the deck from the ground?
I would probably say, maybe 20 feet.
Okay.
You know, 20 feet from where your feet would be on the railing. The railing itself is maybe 3.5-4 feet.
Okay. And what is her name?
I know her name. We call her Tam. I'm assuming that's short for Tammy or Tamra.
Was she there with
So it seems like Jose Barrera didn't know her full name. So once again, these people are, if, you know, if this is not a cover-up and if this is an accident, that, you know, it kind of shows that these people were not that closely linked. Which, once again, if I'm not super close to an acquaintance and that acquaintance is dead, I'm not going to be hysterical. I'm not going to do it, you know? Let's play it.
Anyone else?
Her name is Tam Horsford, HORSFORD, so the black female. I don't believe anybody was. My girlfriend has cameras here on the back deck.
And that's an interesting thing with those cameras. Those cameras apparently were not working. I didn't look into it more in depth, but from just the few sources that I've gathered, Those cameras were installed, I believe, because John Mayer had like a previous husband or something like that, and they had a divorce, and for a time being she was afraid of him, so she put cameras that I believe need to like be recharged or something like that. And after a while the relationship between her and her ex-husband kind of stabilized and she no longer felt scared, so she kind of just never recharged those cameras. But some sources stated that maybe those cameras were actually not working just on that day. So if someone has this information, definitely let me know, because if those cameras were not working just on the day of this incident, then yeah, this is like very suspicious. But if they have been like not working for, you know, like multiple months now, or like even years potentially, then I don't think it's that suspicious though.
But we can check.
Okay.
That I think would have caught the incident if she fell from here. Again, I don't know. It's hard to say if she fell from the deck or if she was already downstairs. She was the only smoker here. And I'm sorry. That's a lot of information. Do you know roughly what time was up to the residence?
Anyways, that's pretty much all, I guess, that we can take from the 911 call. I feel, just to conclude the 911 call, I personally didn't find it that suspicious. And I know this is gonna get me, like, a lot of people will hate me now when I say this, but I personally didn't find this 911 call suspicious. I mean, because the way I understood it, they were not great friends in the first place. Like, Tamala was kind of an acquaintance. She was not a good friend to anyone at the party, you know? This is the house where things went down. This is the front view of the house. This is the backyard of the house. This is a little bit more interesting, so I'm just going to quickly draw on the screen for everyone. I would assume that the official law enforcement timeline is that sometime during the night, Tamla walks here and she has a smoke and she is intoxicated and she somehow manages to tumble across this pretty tall railing, which I think it's, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's possible, maybe it's, I mean, to me it looks like a tall railing, and then she falls down here, and now Tamla is laying down here, face down, apparently completely face down, and this is a few of the suspicious details proposed by some of the online investigators. I definitely agree with them. The fact that apparently Tamala was completely face down, like there wasn't any indication apparently from her positioning that she was trying to cover her face or cover her body as she was falling down, which is definitely bizarre. You would probably expect someone to kind of cover up, so I think that's definitely weird. And I also think that the injuries at first glance, the sustained injuries, and I have the injuries. Let me find the injuries and let's look at. Okay, guys, I think this is a good idea. I'm gonna quickly whip out the injuries and then let's see if the injuries make sense when a person falls over from this balcony, because this is not that big of a fall. This is survivable, you know what I mean? If I fell from here, I think I would survive. I don't know how you would, I guess you can die, but you really have to fall in like a crazy neck-breaking position to die, because this is not that big of a fall. This looks like something, you know, little kids could be making like just for fun. But yeah, let me just quickly whip out those injuries and then let's see if if they actually make sense here. All right, so had a little break. Now going back to the, I guess the, you know, injuries. So we have the Wikipedia here of this whole incident, and in the initial investigation section, I just quickly want to read a little bit. The initial autopsy ordered by the Forsyth Sheriff's Office discovered multiple blunt force injuries and a high blood alcohol level. Officials speculated that the latter caused her to fall from the porch, and the injuries were just a result of the 14-foot fall. Horsford's family and friends, however, were not convinced and called for a second independent autopsy. This was then carried out by Georgia Bureau of Investigations. According to the GBI medical examiner's report, Horsford sustained severe injuries to her head, neck, and the torso. They discovered cuts on her face, wrist, hand, and lower legs, as well as a laceration to the right ventricle of her heart. The GBI toxicology screening found a blood alcohol level of 0.238 and traces of THC and alprazolam, an anxiety drug, at the time of her death. Now let's jump back to the, I guess, back porch. Once again, severe, what did it say? Severe, let's see, severe injuries to her head, neck, and torso. Cuts, and then cuts, right? Severe, neck, head, and torso. Okay, this fall right here, does this fall look like something that would lead to severe neck injuries, head injuries, torso injuries? It really depends, I guess. Maybe if it was a situation where she completely, like, you know, fell, like, face down, like, but this would have to be a crazy accident. She would kind of have to completely lunge, you know what I mean? Like, professional divers as they lunge into the water. This would kind of have to be a similar situation, to break the neck and everything else. It's definitely... I think it's, you know, since I'm not an expert, to me it just sounds fairly interesting, I guess. We have in this image that I'm showing right now, this is the back porch. And I would assume that Tamla fell from this particular corner right here. She probably would have had to enter through this door that we see on the right hand side. We do have a propane tank here. We have a lot of comfortable chairs all over the place. We do have a table here. So there are items here all over the place. Now, yeah, I guess, you know, looking at... I guess one thing that's good when we're looking at least in my opinion, this particular picture, we can kind of gauge how likely is it to just tip over by accident from this porch. Now, it's good because now from this angle, we kind of get the estimate, at least from looking at it, how tall is the railing of this porch. And, you know, I assume if I was standing here, it's definitely still fallable. I will say it's definitely fallable. So I guess the question here is not if, at least to me, if she fell by accident. Maybe someone pushed her, or there was some sort of a confusion happening and someone pushed her. Once again, you know, a lot of things that we could question here. This is a good picture right here. This is, I guess, investigators looking at it. And now from this angle, it looks like it's more deadly than from the other angle, to be honest. Because these two, I believe, investigators, they kind of look fairly small in the general area. So, once again, definitely looks survivable. Something that, you know, kids would probably just jump off for fun sometimes, maybe. But... you know, this, I guess, gives us a better picture, I guess, you know. I guess this image is, if we would be looking from up, looking down from the porch, you know, seems like Tamla fell on the grass. She did not fall on the other, I guess, you know, ground layers next to the grass, because it seems like the fall area was completely grass. We have these crime scene pictures. I found them on truecrimediva.com on her blog. I don't really know exactly what we're looking at. This seems to me like there's definitely some sort of an object on the ground. I think this maybe is blood. I think maybe this is just blood on the ground, on the grass. This is bizarre. This doesn't look like there's anything on the ground. We also, for some weird reason, and this was speculated as a weird detail in this case, for some weird reason, we have like the, you know, crime scene tape inside of the house. I believe this is in the living room, and some people were like, yo, why are there crime scene tape inside of the house if this was just an accident outside? This was a fairly interesting, screenshot. I believe this screenshot that we're looking at, this is from Jeanne's phone, because her phone was connected to the security system that was pretty much tracking the times doors are opened and closed inside of the house. I think this is a pretty cool security system right here. And this is basically the night, right? The night when Tamla was found, you know, when she died, essentially. And we can look at the timestamps. So it seems like the garage door was opened. Let me just highlight it. The garage door was opened at 1:39 a.m. Then it was closed at 1:40 a.m. and it was opened again at 1:40 a.m. So the garage door was opened, closed, and opened again, if you could imagine. And I guess there was never any explanations to why this had happened. Then we have the front door opening at 1:47 a.m., closing immediately at the same 1:47 again, and then getting opened again. This is the front door. Sorry. Yeah, and then the front door was actually opened at 4:10 a.m., basically almost, over 2 hours later, and it stayed open. And I think this 4:10 a.m. is correlates to one of the guests also leaving at the same time. Now, the front door opening at 1:47 a.m. in the night, and then closing at 1:47 a.m. I think it also correlates to one of the women from the party like leaving early, because her husband came and picked her up. And also, I want to quickly add that this 4:10 a.m. I can't recall exactly which women left at 4:10 a.m., but the official version by that woman who left was that she couldn't sleep properly at other people's home and she left. But to some people that are heavily into the murder cover-up theory, they believe that this woman left at 4:10 a.m. because kinda shit went down, if you know what I mean. Beforehand, they kinda all ganged up and killed Tamla, and now Tamla is dead, and this woman who left at 4:10 a.m., she was like, yo, I don't want anything to do with this, I'm out, you know what I mean? So this is how it would play into the cover-up. But it is interesting because this woman is leaving from the front door at 4:10 a.m. I would assume Tamla is definitely dead by now. Tamla is definitely dead in the backyard as this woman is leaving. And, you know, Tamla was only found dead, according to the official timeline, at 8:30 a.m. in the morning. This is like over 4 hours before Tamla is even found dead. So I would assume that when Tamla, if this was an accident, then if she did fell to her death, then she didn't make that much of a noise. which I don't know. I feel like a body, dropping from the porch would probably make enough noise to wake you up, or wouldn't it? I mean, it could really go both ways, right? And then we also have the back door opening at 1:49 a.m., closing at 1:50, and then opening again at 1:57. And this is interesting. The back door is interesting because if we would go back to the back door, I would assume, yeah, exactly as highlighted in this picture, I would assume this right here is the back door. So this back door was opened at 1:47 a.m., closed at 1:47 a.m., and then opened again at 1:57 a.m. So, and Tamley is found dead somewhere here. So what does this mean, actually? So that's it with the visual assets. I think it's good to do some stalking, people stalking online on Facebook. So this is Jean Mears. She goes by Jean PM. Friends about, I don't really see much, but it's always fun to stalk people, especially in these cases. Once again, if she's innocent, then definitely my apologies for sure. This is Madeline Lombardi, Jean's aunt, the woman who got on her knees and started praying instead of doing anything else. Which is, a lot of people found that reaction fairly interesting, for sure. Okay. This is Stacy Smith, the woman who organized the whole thing. Oh, god damn, it's her family. Yo, I don't want to drag her kids into this. God, but they are white, though. Everyone's kind of super white here. I mean, I'm white also, so you know what I mean. But yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Looks like a regular soccer mom, you know what I mean? I mean, what else is there, you know? We have Nicole Lawson also on Facebook. Actually, maybe I should invite all these people to be my friends on Facebook. Maybe get them to do interviews. You know? I guess regular people, once again, nothing suspicious. We don't have everyone's Facebooks, though. For instance, for Sarah Cockerham, we have 4th K-12. This is a school website, so Sarah Cockerham has 14 years of experience teaching in local schools. Miss Cockerham taught 3 years at Mashburn Elementary, teaching 4th grade, 7 years at Brookwood Elementary, teaching 4th grade and special education. This is her 5th year at the T, teaching 4th grade ELA. Basically, she's like a teacher, okay? Just a regular teacher. Doesn't seem like anything too suspicious, at least at first glance. And then we have Tom Smith. The husband of what's her name? Tom Smith and Stacy Smith. Just the dude who likes football, it seems like. Nothing too out of the ordinary right here as well. All right, and I guess I would like to mention a few other things that I found interesting in this case that kind of jumped out to me. So one thing is that police apparently did not collect any potential evidence such as fingerprints, and also the autopsy and the medical examiner did not use a sexual assault kit or collect fingernail scrapings. The, I guess, lead investigator, Mike Christian, had a lot of weird things happening around him in this case, because he was the lead investigator. He questioned Jean and the aunt, Madeline Lombardi, inside of Jean's home, I believe, not in a police environment. And I believe that Jean tried at one point to almost, like, some people think that she tried to bribe Mike Christian with Dunkin' Donuts gift cards, which was a bizarre twist for sure. I think he refused the gift cards, if I'm not mistaken. Speaking of Mike Christian himself, he apparently had a wife, but also two separate girlfriends. At least this is what I've read on truecrimediva.com. And apparently they were doing counseling or whatever. So I guess the wife knew that this investigator, Mike Christian, had like affairs going on. But I think he had like two girlfriends at the time. And he sent them pictures of Tamla's dead body at the crime scene. And then also released sensitive information regarding the toxicology reports that was not supposed to be leaked to the public. And I think he was in trouble. I'm not really sure what happened right there, but I think he was kind of in trouble and he kind of is no longer an investigator for the county. This is another interesting detail. I'm just going to quickly flip to truecrimediva.com again. I found this interesting. Once again, True Crime Diva is definitely heavily biased towards the "it was a murder cover-up" theory, so I don't fully, definitely don't fully agree with True Crime Diva, because she kind of, at least in her thoughts on the on her blog, she kind of said that she thinks that Tamla was lured in to this environment and they wanted to kill her, essentially. But I don't think that's the case. I didn't get the sense that this was a situation where Tamla got lured in, and I find it at least now baffling how someone could make those claims. Like, sure, an accidental or like some sort of a accidental killing, like they have an argument, something happens, okay, we can talk, but like luring in, I'm not really sure about that though. But this is interesting. I want to quickly read a portion. It's another interesting topic I want to mention, is that racism, this is her quotes on her blog, racism still exists, of course. Take Chris Shelton, for example. Today he's Forsyth County's deputy coroner, appointed by Sheriff Ron Freeman. Under a previous sheriff's authority, Shelton was fired for making racist mammy dolls. Freeman rehired him because, well, two peas from the same pod. But it is interesting, like, if this town is so racist, they did previously, like, fired him. But now they rehired him, so maybe the town is under Sheriff Ron Freeman, has turned into a racist, you know, office once again. And then obviously we have to talk about the big one. The big detail here is that in February 2019, Jose Barrera was terminated for illegally accessing the Horsford incident report and name record for Jean Mars via the records management system database on a work computer. So this is about Mars. So essentially what this guy did, Jose Barrera, he accessed the files, sensitive information on his work computer, and he wasn't allowed to do that. And this definitely, I think this was the breaking point in this case that made everyone kind of suspect, like, there's a cover-up happening in this case. I could see it both ways. I could see that being the case, of course. I could also see it being the case where maybe Jose Barrera, out of general interest, just wanted to check up what's happening in this case. And I think, but I could be mistaken here, he did look to see what case, what police information was on the computer regarding Jean Myers, his girlfriend, and maybe Jean asked him to do this. I'm not really sure if they were still together at that point, if they're still together, who knows. But it's definitely interesting, and I'm not really sure what to make of it. It's a suspicious detail, and it kind of costed this guy his work as well. And I guess the last thing I want to talk about regarding this case is true crime diva's thoughts. You know what I mean? I know this case, this episode was a lot about true crime diva, but I guess she did have like some good information. Heavily biased one way, so definitely want to throw that out. But good, very good research though. And her thoughts are that I had not heard of this case until I saw someone discussing it on TikTok. I knew right away I had to write about Tamla, and I also knew this post would be completely different than what you are used to, and more like how I used to write when I first created this blog. I make no apologies for the things I say here. This case pisses me off, and if it doesn't piss you off, you are not human. Let's call this what it is, murder. And don't try to convince me otherwise, it would be pointless. I would not rule out that Tamla was purposely lured to Mare's home. Here's what I think. Tamla was beaten to death by someone or more than one person at the party. The 4th, 8th, 12th, basically the people at the party, are covering it up with the help of their friends at the FCCO. I think this is like the 4th Sheriff's Office and Cumming Police Department. For me, it's all the inconsistencies in the interviews and police report. If you tell the truth, your story never changes, and there should be no inconsistencies in police statements. I do not believe Tamla went out on the deck to smoke a cigarette. I believe she was already dead when the security system recorded the back door opening, closing, and opening again. So I assume she's talking about the back door that I've also briefly spoke shortly ago. I think the others came and went for 10 minutes and left the door open as part of the cover-up. They staged her body on the ground to make it look like she fell to her death. So what she's saying, True Crime Diva, is saying that the people involved in this cover-up, they probably left the door open on purpose, the back door. Now, I'm literally trying to think, how is this a cover-up? Like, regarding the back door being open. Like, if you leave the back door open, what does that indicate? You know what I mean? I don't know. I can't connect the dots right now. And yeah, I think I want to wrap it up here this week. I was using a different way of recording this episode, and it was way easier and a lot more fun this week, and I had a good time. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Please let me know what you think about like the structure and how everything flowed, because last week I personally didn't like the episode. I feel like it was kind of too like fidgety, like guys, look at this, look at that, yeah, like that kind of a deal. And I didn't really enjoy that, and I didn't enjoy even recording it. I had way more fun this week. It was a fun time researching this case. Please leave suggestions in the comments section for next week's case. And I'll join you once again whenever I'll join you. So please stay safe and peace out.